Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes here for the end of April, beginning of May, 2026. Jeff Hawkins is there. Rob McCarron is here. As always, for the past 15 years here on Shake Them Ropes, we're going to be talking about some of the WWE releases. By now, it's a week old at this point, but we're going to go into maybe who has a future elsewhere, and maybe even who might come back at some point, because out of most of these release classes, we usually see one or two come back to WWE at some point. Of course, some of these releases have guys who were in that case, who had already been back after a previous release. We're going to talk about the road to Backlash, a little bit about CM Punk, AJ Lee, and more. Jeff Hawkins, how the heck are you, as we are very close to the end of the first half of this year already?
I'm another year older. I rode roller coasters yesterday, which I think that's my last year riding roller coasters. Water slides
Happy
I can
birthday.
Handle. Thank you. I am now officially, I've always been officially old on this show since as long as it's been. So
you are now old age.
Oh God, I felt it for the first time. I was like, and it's the loops. It's not the speed. It's the loops. It's the G forces. And like Six Flags Magic Mountain is like the second, I think it's the second best coaster park next to Cedar Point, but I've never been to Cedar Point.
Wait a second. Hold on. Let's dive into this.
Okay.
You think it's the second best coaster park next to a park you've never been to, so you have no idea if it's good or not?
I just know everybody says it's the best coaster park, so I'm not going to fight everybody for once.
You know what? I believe that Godfather movie is great, even though I've never seen it.
Yeah,
it's the best. The best mob movie ever is The Godfather. Have you seen it?
When have I had the chance to go to Cedar Point ever? Never.
This isn't the point. This is like the argument when people say, God, I can't believe they booked Kenny Omega versus Swerve. Neither one of them should have lost. you didn't have to put yourself in this position.
I know that, but I also didn't want to take heat from people saying, how dare you say that Magic Mountain's the best coaster park in the world when Cedar Point exists? And I'm just like, there's a no-win situation here.
You could have just said, my favorite of the ones I've been to.
Okay, here we go.
Not everything has to be an absolute.
My favorite of the ones I've been to is Magic Mountain.
There you go.
Son of a bitch.
No, which one's the one Ric Flair always talked about? That's Space Mountain, right?
That's Space Mountain at Disney. But no, there's two coasters at Magic Mountain, X2 and Tatsu, are just phenomenal roller coasters.
I believe you. I've never been, so I can't say definitively.
But man, I got off of them. I went,
I have no idea.
Yep, I'm old.
You're old. Well, yeah, you go to if you get tired on a roller coaster where you're really not moving very much.
It really wasn't tired. It's just getting shaken around. Then you feel like you've been in a car accident.
No one wants to be shaken around like that. I mean, who wants to be shaken around like that? Come on.
Or shaking them ropes.
Yeah. Shaking them rope. The ropes are there to be shook.
Shook. Yes.
They are there for one specific reason, is for bodies to be flying off of them and for them to be shaken, not stirred.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on the shaken, not stirred argument for James Bond? Because a lot of people are saying he's just ordering a watered down martini.
I don't drink martinis. See, I'm not going to step in it on this one.
So, okay. All right. That's fine. That's probably the best way. See, you're learning. We're learning here.
I'm a bourbon drinker. I don't drink that.
As you grow older, you're growing wiser.
I try. I'm learning from you, Rob.
Well, I mean, everyone should.
I agree.
Everyone freaking should. So let's spin the wheel of topics.
Okay.
We have the road to Backlash, because Backlash is coming soon. I mean, after this weekend here, it's one weekend away. It's next Sunday night. I believe it's Sunday night. It's weird when pay-per-views these days happen on Sundays. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so not used to it. Back in our day, that was the day. In your day, they used to be on Saturdays, then they moved to Sundays.
Oh, back in my day, you'd have the random Thursday or Tuesday pay-per-view or whatever.
Thanksgiving night. Can you imagine a Thanksgiving
night?
One day we will, but now Thanksgiving's a football day now, so probably no WWE PLEs.
No, but I mean, even like NWA WCW way back in the day, it'd be like Halloween Havoc's on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. It's like, all right, fine.
We have the road to Backlash coming up. We have the releases from WWE, the talent big release last Friday.
That would be my choice.
We're spinning the wheel.
Oh, okay. So well, let's fix the wheel.
You don't get to choose. If that's your choice, you know, to heck with the wheel.
Yes.
I don't even have a sound effect for this imaginary wheel anyway. Last week, WWE released many names, Booker T calling it nobody is safe after those releases.
Yeah.
Saying everyone's doomed, you never know. Basically, a lot of folks that were, if they even had TV time, they were not getting very important or a lot of TV time. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, you can argue Kairi Sane was the one getting the most TV time out of many of the names, but it wasn't necessarily important TV time. So we had some big releases. We had Bo Dallas, the Wyatt Six, the entire group of the Wyatt Six, and Kairi Sane were kind of the headliners of those releases. Alba Fire getting released, a couple of folks who had not yet returned from TV from injury. So what is your overarching response to WWE releasing some talent? Because if you'll remember Jeff Hawkins, and I have a steel trap memory, so I remember one of the topics we discussed on this very show last week, like the day before these releases happened, was, you know what, there's a lot of call-ups, not any more TV time. There's going to be trouble. And then the very next day there was trouble.
My overall note, as always, this is my disclaimer, is it's show business and and it's not fair. And I'm not denigrating anybody who got cut, because a lot of people stayed a long time past what you'd think they would too at times. In terms of the interesting ones. Yeah. The Kairi Sane one kind of floored me, especially since when she was signed, she was the best female wrestler in the world. Some thought. But the rumor there is that she wants to go back to Japan to move.
Yeah, the rumor is there. Of course, she came out with a statement afterwards saying, I never give up. I wonder if it was a translated way of like, no, that's not. I wasn't quitting WWE. There's no way I would have quit.
I will also say that WWE cast for type, and there might be a possibility that they just thought they had too many of her type on the roster, on the main roster. Yeah,
dangerous. Dangerous, especially when there's more masked wrestlers than there's ever been on WWE.
And
remember
I figured
when Vince McMahon hated masks?
Yes, that's the next culling, I think, is masked wrestlers on the roster. But in terms of, you know, actual talent, if I'm AEW, I go after Kaylee Ray / Alba Fire tomorrow. She was great in the role she was playing. She was great in the matches with the younger kids. She'd be the second best woman on the roster if they signed her tomorrow.
Ooh, behind who? Magic Mountain?
No, Mercedes. Magic Mountain too. But Mercedes. But and Kairi is there for Forbidden Door if she's actually moving back to Japan, if they want to do like a super fight with her and Mercedes as well. I mean, but I think Kairi is probably the one that gets brought back due to this public uproar if that happens.
Okay.
The other one that's interesting is one that Paul Fontaine on my other show pointed me to, the kid with the last name London, who was in Evolve, is a better version of, I won't say better, but he has the same type and does a lot of similar things, perhaps with the potential to be better than Javon Evans. And I was a little shocked by that, because I watched him. I go, yeah, but that almost might be casting for type as well. The one guy I could see bouncing around smaller promotion, I could see Joe Gacy from the Wyatt Six around. He has a Mick Foley hardcore type thing. Like that match with him and Dexter Lumis versus the Psycho Clowns in AAA was better than it had any right to be.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious to see if Joe Gacy is going to do more international dates. I can see him being one of those that kind of bounces between GCW and MLW.
Yes.
Not so much an AEW guy, but, you know, plenty
MLW.
Of spots.
MLW yeah. Especially, yeah.
Yeah. He screams an MLW guy. Eric Rowan probably going to keep wrestling. We'll see what happens with Eric Rowan, but I mean, I don't expect him to do anything big anymore. Like, this was the last run for him in professional wrestling as far as doing something important, I would say. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Nikki Cross, because her husband is in MLW, and she'll bounce around a bit.
I'm sure she'll. She might be the same kind of thing. International bookings, a lot of Europe, and some MLW here and there. I don't want to quite go away from Kairi Sane, because we talked about the rumor is she wanted to go home. It happened once before. I think the rumor is out there just because that's what happened last time. Is she did want to go back to Japan, so she left WWE.
Was that Kairi or Io? Because I know Io had the same thing.
Io had a similar thing. I was thinking it was Kairi Sane as well, but I know Io kind of had a similar.
It was thing in. It was in between the NXT and the eventual call up with Damage Control.
Yeah,
I think, and it was like either take me up or I'm going home because I just got married or something like that. Or no, Kairi got married. Io was gonna get married. To Evil, of all people, I think.
Yeah, Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane left WWE in 2000, announced her departure as she was heading back to be with her husband in Japan.
Got it.
And she was going to continue on with WWE as a trainer for their Japanese situation, which never ended up happening. NXT Japan, effectively. So she returned to WWE after working some New Japan Pro Wrestling. But yeah, she wanted to go back to Japan. So I can very well see that that might be the case now. But I would highly say that's a rumor out there and not necessarily anything that's for certain.
Yeah.
People saying, oh, well, now it makes sense. It's convenient because when you talk about leaks, right, it's like who benefits? Remember, this leak came out the very day after her name was chanted heavily during the Asuka segment on Raw. It's like, hey, we need to quiet these Kairi Sane chants down. Maybe let's release that. You know what? It was her idea. She wanted to go. This will stop people from demanding her because, oh, it's her idea.
Yeah. I'm cynical enough to believe anything. Yeah.
The whole weekend where nothing was coming out about that. And then the very next day. And then Kairi Sane apparently goes on Twitter. And the way I read it was she was denying that was the reason.
It's emails like, going around and saying, hey, you know what? If you this for us.
How dead was that crowd on Monday night, too, for Raw? I mean, no one outside of chanting Kairi Sane, no one cared about the Asuka angle, which is crazy because most arenas around the country, people are really into Asuka and what the women's division is doing in general. There were some other quiet moments. Jacob Fatu was getting nothing. I kind of worry about this as we head into Backlash, Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Remind me, where was Raw again this week?
I think Laredo, right? They were on the border of Laredo, Texas.
That might be
so they did, you know, they did the Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano on TV. Bo Dallas is interesting. I mean, I guess if you're just going to do away with the Wyatt Six angle, I mean, what are any of these people going to do on television? We're just writing off the Wyatt Six. I mean, we tried, I guess.
It was a nice tribute angle to the brother, and I think it got as much as it could on the main roster. It would have been great in AAA.
I know. They had some hiccups, too, because Bo Dallas had the injury or he was away for a little bit at the start. The angle never seemed like it got going until a year and a half after they debut. Yeah. So it was a little bit Santos Escobar
is interesting to me because of the big contract he signed to be the star there.
It's like they begged him to come back.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Never mind. I don't know why we begged you to come back. And you know what? I don't know why they begged him to come back. It made no sense.
Can I be honest, though? Alistair and Zelina tend to be a little bit more trouble than they're worth, I think.
You're like good riddance to them, aren't you?
I didn't say good riddance. I won't say that. No. But it's just kind of like they love their lore. And I'm just like, they can't get past it ever. I'm just like, okay, great.
The issue with Aleister Black and...
Or you Malachi Black.
Aleister Black, Malachi Black, whatever you want to call him. Because,
Tommy End.
he used to be known as Tommy End, but that is not Tommy End. I'm looking in his eyes. That's not Tommy End. This is MLW all over because, I mean, if you're taking all the rumors that are out there, it's like, could he possibly go back to AEW? I know they re-signed Andrade for the second time. And he seemed like he was kind of trouble. So maybe they bring back Aleister Black to do something with the promotion, but I see this guy being another MLW signing.
I don't see them bringing him back to AEW. I think that there's enough people who have said enough things, but without saying his name, to make me think they don't want him back. Now, the guys I think would go to
saying we don't want him back.
Yeah, AEW Motor City Machine Guns are AEW bound.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tag division is going to be pretty soon just the leftovers of WWE tag division, when that's not what it was when it was growing up, you know, with the Young Bucks.
It's going to be all the smaller teams at WWE.
Oh, super small team. Like, this is SmackDown, Paul London, Brian Kendrick era SmackDown tag team matches. Like, that's what this is.
That's exactly what it is.
And I worry about it because they're keeping the Hurt Syndicate kind of out of it now. They're making Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin the new APA.
No, give me them as a tag team to mow through all these tiny teams.
Oh, no, that would be great. Happy. But I seemingly think they're keeping them away from the tag team division for this purpose. I know you got Edge and Christian in there, and you got FTR. You know, I know FTR is technically a WWE garbage bin team, but I mean, FTR is great. Garbage bin meaning just they were cut from WWE.
Thank you. So okay, good.
Yeah, they're not garbage by any means. FTR is probably...
There's a segment of AEW fans that hate FTR for some reason. I'm just like,
FTR is one of the best things on TV every week.
I agree.
And that's before they haven't really reinvented themselves that much. They're still kind of that, you know, no gas, no brakes, for lack of a better term. but yeah, there's... so if we're going down, the list, I just want a yes or no real quick on some of these names, yes or no to AEW signing these people. All right.
Okay.
Jeff Hawkins on the record on his birthday week, finding out if these people are going to be AEW.
Jeff Hawkins is a no. AEW doesn't want me. I know that.
Alba Fire.
Yes.
Aleister Black.
No.
Andre Chase.
No.
Dexter Loomis.
No.
The Motor City Machine Guns, you already said.
Yes, hard yes.
Do you think you find, that's really the yes or no. Kyrie Sane, if Kyrie Sane shows up on AEW, all the people being like, oh, she just wanted to go home. Well, sorry about you. Because she could effectively do what an AEW schedule would do. I mean, people who show up on Raw, like a Kyrie Sane, could go back to Japan the next day, fly back in. I mean, you have 4 days at home in Japan. You could.
Yes.
What was the other one that was interesting to me is Santos Escobar. I see him going to CMLL. Now that could be a roadway to eventually being in AEW.
That would be my guess too. I think he goes CMLL and then we use him in crossovers.
Does Santos Escobar, yes or no, Jeff Hawkins, debut in AEW under a mask and then surprising taking his mask off to join the Don Callis family? Because that seems to be the gimmick.
No, but if they decide to reunite Andrade and Roosh, I could see him joining that little crew.
All right. And then the one that kind of surprised me a little bit was Zoe Stark, just because she hadn't come back from injury and had a pretty gruesome injury in the ring for WWE too. So, I mean, I was expecting to see her back one day in WWE.
AEW, no, for now, but Ring of Honor, possibly. I think she grinds on the indies. I think she's going to do things like Defy and GCW and stuff.
She could follow the Natty Neidhart kind of road from the last year, you know, and do some of those GCW type matches there. As far as coming back, is there anyone on this list you would expect to see back in WWE? Give me two names that have the potential to one day return to WWE.
Kyrie. And I'll say Zoe Stark.
Zoe Stark and Kyrie. I'm with you kind of on Zoe Stark. There can be an angle there. She decides to keep wrestling and, because you never know. I mean, we're all like, oh, well, these are wrestlers. They're going to keep wrestling. Of course they are. Some of these folks weren't wrestlers before signing with WWE.
Correct.
And they tend to quit and find a different job or find a different line
like,
of work.
I think the two guys, like the In the Mud guys, is that who the one of the teams were from NXT that got cut? I think they're not going to.
Some of these LFG guys and the early Evolve guy, I don't know many of these names. Like Luca Crucifino, I know.
Crucifino got packaged twice on NXT. Right. He was the consul, and they was doing like the clavicular gimmick. It's stuck. I think he goes off to do something else other than wrestling.
Yeah, and some of these, you know, chat GPT names like Tyreek Igwe, I don't know if this is a real name. I apologize if that's your real name.
That's the In the Mud guy. I think
Serena Linton.
No.
Tyra Mae Steele.
Tyra Mae Steele was the gold medalist that they brought up with, and they just couldn't do anything with her for some reason. I don't understand why.
Of course, that's not her name.
No.
Not her real name.
That's also part of the reason why they couldn't figure out what to do with her.
Katana
Chance.
I do kind of love, yeah, Katana Chance. I do kind of love that they kept her initials the same, TMS, though. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So yeah, those are WWE releases. I mean, it was kind of a Black Friday right before SmackDown. I mean, it was interesting because they released names, and then some of those names were still in the opening video of SmackDown, namely the Wyatt Six folks. So you could kind of see maybe how little there was little communication between the TV side of, oh, by the way, we're going to have some names here that are no longer with the company. Maybe we should change that opening for SmackDown. With several hours in advance. So there's a lack of communication there. Some of these were pretty quick. You wonder how much creative was, you know, some of these decisions are being made by Triple H. I mean, he's the head of creative. Like, they're not releasing Randy Orton, for example, without Triple H knowing. They're not releasing people who are actively on TV without Triple H knowing. Maybe he was the guy who decided, hey, these are the names I could do without. Maybe he was just told and someone else made the money work and whatnot. I don't know. But Triple H knew there, if the creative can know, the TV side should know what's going on so they can make some of these changes.
Can I ask you a kind of morbid question? Is there someone that you thought would be cut that survived these?
No, I'm not. We talked about this last week. I'm not expecting, I mean, I expected some to happen, but what names? I mean, I don't know. You could right now,
have,
you could say,
I have two on the tip of my tongue. So let me ask you this. Are you shocked that Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae survived?
I mean, after the fact, yes. Am I surprised that those two names weren't a part of this? Because seemingly that's kind of the area they're in right now. Sure.
Right. Okay.
Maybe Johnny Gargano going back to NXT and being, you know, NXT announced some things. They're going to be on the ESPN app. The PLEs are going to be on CW. There's some changes there. Maybe they want to make NXT brand a little bit bigger, and maybe you'll see Johnny Gargano more.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if you're going back in hindsight, yeah, you could always do this what if. I'm like, oh, well, you release these names. What about Johnny Gargano? He's just going to stick around. But there's probably a little bit of, like, let's not deliver names that we know AEW would want type of situation. Because Johnny Gargano would be in AEW on day 91.
Maybe. I mean, now he would. Last time he wasn't. Last time they had
last time he knew he was coming back.
Well, now I mean, Ciampa's there, so
you can't convince me that Ciampa and Gargano, and especially Gargano, didn't know that Gargano was not coming back to WWE when he was ready. Like it was never a thing where he was going to go wrestle for somewhere else. But now, I mean, maybe one day, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, he's getting kind of close to that period where maybe he'll be a coach in NXT. I mean, he's that type of wrestler. He's trained wrestlers before. Maybe he'll end up being an NXT lifer at some point. So yeah, Johnny Gargano, I was thinking of like a team like American Made, who clearly is not in the tag team title picture right now, who's, you know, ever since Chad Gable and Ludwig Kaiser went under the mask and have been doing the El Grande gimmick, they've kind of been, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's like names like that, you know, if I was going to be worried about my position and not just leave it up to, hey, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the type of guys I would be worried about.
Same
right now.
I thought about them too.
Yeah, so we're on the road to Backlash. We got three matches for a show that, as you listen to this, is going to take place in about 7 to 8 days. Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker is official. It is the singles match. This is the match that was too important to be rushed. Effectively, is still kind of being rushed. I thought this was, you know, last week after our show, I was thinking about it. You know, what's the main event going to be of Saturday night's main event? And I thought it would be Seth and Bron. Because then you give them a month to tell the story, a month to have this match. You get it. You have a big main event, you know, relatively speaking, for Saturday night's main event. But now it's going to be under Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. And then you have Io Sky and Asuka in a singles match. As Asuka says, I'm all alone now. We're both all alone now. And we're going to see who's even more alone at the end of Backlash. So I would expect one or two more matches. It's crazy now with WWE PLEs, like, if they get to five, we know they're done. Like, it's five match shows nowadays. And especially a show like Backlash, where in 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, you have Saturday night's main event coming out. But yeah, what do you think about the card for Backlash so far? And is there anything else you might expect to be added?
Yeah, I expect, well, I don't know specifically what should be added, because, again, you have the Saturday night's main event thing, and that's on my mind,
you do.
Too.
2 weeks away, and then maybe they'll do something with CM Punk there, maybe Cody Rhodes there, Randy Orton, we'll see what happens with him. So there's still names that have been kept off of this show.
Yeah, but you won't put those names on a Peacock-only event, would you? I mean, like, I almost thought they'd move Io and Asuka to Saturday night's main event, but...
Well... I think you have to put one of the following people on Saturday night's main event. Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Roman Reigns.
Agreed.
And we know it won't be Roman Reigns.
Right.
So CM Punk's got to have a match at Saturday night's main event. And if he doesn't, Cody Rhodes has to. So I do see Cody Rhodes at this point defending the championship against who, I don't know. But he'll defend the title at Saturday night's main event.
I think there needs to be at least one more big match on Backlash. Otherwise, this just screams B pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, it is. It is,
true.
Though.
That's true. Maybe they don't need it then. Maybe you just get something like a women's tag match or something like that on this card.
Not that those aren't big and
no,
could be
but,
big.
But, I mean,
I think
they're
you'll
not,
get a women's tag team title
When I
match,
say
yeah.
big, I mean headlining. I mean like Cody or Punk or Orton.
To me... I'm a little different there because I think you have two main events on this show already. Braun and Seth Rollins is a match that effectively has been booked for several months. And like, I think they're rushing it just because Braun just came back and they're already doing this match. But effectively since late last year, this has been something that has kind of been built to, and then you have Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. And of course, yes, they're rushing this a little bit. Jacob Fatu wasn't in the title picture 2 weeks ago, and now he's getting the championship on a different brand after not winning a match in several months that counts. So, but I think Roman Reigns on the show is a main event. Seth Rollins versus Braun Breakers is a main event.
So Saturday night's main event, I'll put this out there. You get your Intercontinental title match with Penta, Rusev, those guys.
Yeah.
You get maybe you get Punk Orton to headline it.
Ooh, that would be too big, honestly.
Okay.
That's too big for Fort Wayne, Indiana, Jeffrey.
How about Punk Ricky Starks?
Ooh, okay.
And then maybe like a Javon or Tiffany Stratton match. Tiffany Stratton, the Intercontinental, or the
each other.
No. But I mean, somebody younger that they want to put on the card to get over in a match. That's it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, there's a lot of new names in there too. One of the things from Raw that really struck me is the Usos are fully with Roman Reigns at this point. So seemingly, even though they won the 6-man tag at WrestleMania, seems like they're kind of out of the tag title picture right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are fully on to the Street Profits versus the Vision, but at the same time, the Vision are now feuding with Joe Hendry, of all people, as Joe Hendry debuted and went specifically after Logan Paul. So I'm not quite sure if we're going to get a singles match with Logan Paul and Joe Hendry at some point. What are we doing with the tag team titles? The tag team titles will be defended on one of the two PLEs, I got to think, coming up in May. And so that's another big match that can kind of happen. I don't see the Vision quite losing yet, but what do you make of Joe Hendry debuting and seemingly going one-on-one with Logan Paul, despite the fact that there's a tag team program going on right now between the Vision and the Street Profits?
Joe Hendry is an interesting proposition because he is entrance. He is these types of singing things. Once the bell rings, he's good. He's not great, but he's good. He's fine. And I see him losing to Logan Paul. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is the old philosophy that Vince used to have too, is you can have a tag team champion lose a singles match because he's a tag team specialist. Logan Paul effectively right now is in the tag team. Now, of course, he's a one-on-one guy. He's won a lot of big matches, but he's a tag team guy, so we can have him lose, and it's not losing anything for him if he gets beat by Joe Hendry. But Joe Hendry is one of these guys I thought was going to be an NXT lifer in WWE because, I mean, what's his ceiling in WWE on Raw? Like, I don't ever expect a Joe Hendry Roman Reigns title match. You know what I mean?
No, you know what? I could see Logan Paul versus Joe Hendry on Saturday night's main event.
I could see that's like Joe Hendry's ceiling. But what happens if Joe Hendry wins? Like, what does he go up to?
He goes up to Intercontinental title level.
Yeah,
stuff.
The Intercontinental title bubble with Penta, Rey Mysterio. It's still, we had the ladder match, you know, for the Intercontinental title, and now we still have everyone effectively but JD McDonagh in the title picture. Yes. He just replaced him with Ethan Page. So got four way. We could absolutely get an IC title multi-main match for Saturday night's main event. We've had four ways kind of like that. We, you know, one main event for Saturday night's main event recently was the four way number one contendership. So it's not like you have to put a title match on top, just have some multi-man with a bunch of names. But yeah, Ethan Page still kind of making this a six man little thing here. Do we see Ethan Page getting a title shot? Do we see him getting a big match on one of these PLEs in the next month? Because he did just show up, but he's getting some important TV time so far.
I think he's in a four-way with Penta on that Saturday night's main event.
So who's
match.
In your four-way? Who's in your four-way?
Penta, Rusev, Javon, Ethan Page.
And Ethan Page. Okay, so we're not really putting Rey Mysterio in there right now, huh?
No.
Okay. All right, well, there you go. There you go. That's your four-way action. Dragon Lee is out of the picture as well.
Correct.
From the Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania. So yeah, three matches. We still have no, we haven't really been getting much on Saturday night's main event. They're not really building up anything specifically for that, even though at this point it is less than a month away. I think it's 4 weeks away or so. So it'll be 3 weeks away come this weekend. Yeah, four match show coming up to Peacock. And now it's the only thing left on Peacock. They've taken away all the backlog of inventory. They've taken away NXT PLEs. The only thing on Peacock these days is Saturday night's main event. I do worry a little bit about, I mean, WWE went crazy for WrestleMania on ESPN. ESPN went even more crazy for WWE leading up to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You have NBC seemingly getting out of the business of WWE. WWE, you know, wanting to get out of the business with them for ESPN. Do you see trouble with the ESPN-WWE relationship and maybe possibly, I wonder if there is a way out early for ESPN?
Eventually. All companies sour on wrestling because they think it's detrimental to their brand. And ESPN will again. I mean, but ESPN, like, back in my day, if you want to say that, used to have wrestling every day on ESPN. But now we're legitimate, guys. Now we have the NBA and we have other sports. We have the WNBA. This wrestling, it's bringing us down. It's fake. We don't want our fans to know. And then they'll get rid of it. And then like in 10 years, they'll go, you know what? We'd like to have you back again. Cause that's how all these relationships work.
I just wonder, and not even for the fact that it's detrimental to advertisers or anything like that, because they're getting a lot of sponsorships. I think the age of wrestling is bad for advertisers is over. I think it's just not helping the ESPN Unlimited enough for them. And they think that people are going to come for wrestling the same way that people go to Netflix for certain shows or certain personalities. They're going to come for wrestling. It's a loyal crowd. They're going to come. But now, I mean, that they've gone to streaming services and they've gone to different channels because they had to, and it wasn't so fractured like it is now. It's like people have to go to Netflix. People have to go to Peacock. People have to go to ESPN.
WWE goes to where the money is, and they expect the loyal audience to be loyal to them. Now, the problem with the ESPN thing is it's bleeding over into their other programming, which makes it kind of cringe, too. So they're actively working against their brand. If it was just everything on ESPN Unlimited and then the, you know, your first takes and whatnot would occasionally push people to ESPN Unlimited, it'd be fine. But instead, you're getting Pat McAfee involved in angles and stuff and Stephen A. Smith going, I could be at WrestleMania. I could do, you know, whatever. And I think that turns off a lot of the people that would tune into ESPN just for the hard sports, quote unquote. Not that, you know, facts versus volume is much sports, but people tend to enjoy that stuff.
It's tough. I had a close call, too, because so for WrestleMania, you know, previous PLEs, I know we talked about this last week where I was like, I was still deciding how was I going to watch WrestleMania? Was I going to do it with Netflix and a VPN, which is what I've done for the previous PLEs? Was I going to get ESPN Unlimited? What I ended up doing, Jeff, 5-day trial of DirecTV.
Oh.
Yes, because comes with the streaming, DirecTV streaming, because that comes with ESPN Unlimited. So I got the 5 days, but I had a close call. Day 5 came and I almost forgot to cancel DirecTV. But I got it just in the nick of time. So I got the ESPN Unlimited version of WrestleMania. No buffering, none in any of that trouble. It was a seamless experience. But you go on to ESPN Unlimited and you realize right now that the only thing on there is WWE.
Yes, unless you wanted to watch like multiple things at once. Now, let me posit something to you, just moving on from this topic, because we have SmackDown call-ups coming, which are never as big, but in order of who's in the best position, who's in the worst position of these three people.
Okay.
Evil in NXT, whatever his name's going to be, because they didn't refer to him as Evil. They did the whole, oh, that's the former IWGP champion, whose name we have not yet put through the NXT name maker.
Yeah, they trademarked a name yesterday, Nox Raijin, or Raijin, or Raijin, or however you want to say that. So a lot of people are expecting Evil to be Nox Raijin.
Okay. Blake Monroe and Ricky Starks. Who's in the best position? Who's in the worst position of those three?
Ricky Saints. The best position
Ricky
is
Saints,
going to
my
be...
fault.
The best position will be Blake Monroe.
Because yes, because the other two are
enough.
Terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of.
Terrible position, not terrible enough. Wrestlers. Yes.
No, I mean, Ricky Saints is fine, but I don't see the Ricky Saints thing making it on WWE TV the same way it kind of didn't make it too much on AEW TV. They're not entirely different audiences.
Okay, let me posit something to you, because this might just be cynical Jeff paranoid brain working. I think Blake Monroe may be in a worse position than we think.
Why's that?
Number one, SmackDown, not Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two... You're in the land of blondes there right now, both with Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte. Charlotte tends to get territorial about another blonde on the roster, too, as you saw with Tiffany Stratton.
I know, but they're so different. I wish Charlotte would get a grip. They're so different.
I agree. I think Stratton eventually gets shipped off to Raw, so we don't have to worry about that. But it's one of those things that you think about, because they do cast for type. And I could see if Tiffany Stratton doesn't get moved to Raw, how there might be a conversation a year that where they go, well, look, we have these two and they're kind of the same, and we have a bunch of young women down in NXT and Evolve, et cetera, et cetera. Not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying this is where I've been watching wrestling and listening to backstage politics for so long that it creeps into my analysis at times. But I think Ricky Saints is going to eventually be a manager.
Okay. Like kind of go the Robbie E route?
For Royce Keys.
Okay. I mean, that's another name. We talk about NXT call-ups. Royce Keyes is kind of a call-up right now, effectively. Like, he's the new signing. He hasn't done a whole lot. He won the Andre Battle Royal, but still kind of trying to find some footing or even find what to do with him. I could see the magnetism of those two because of where they came from, because of how they were kind of together in AEW, is they find their way together.
Yes.
The same way that Ethan Page and Rusev have kind of found their way together. I'm like, sometimes there's just these are two new guys. They came from AEW, let's put them together. They came from WCW, let's put them together. They came from TNA, let's put them together. We're still getting a little bit of that.
Or, they came from AEW, we signed them. We're not going to push them to the moon, but they're still entertaining. Let's put them together. Do we think anybody else is going to show up on this SmackDown show or no? Because I can't.
Yeah, Goldberg.
Goldberg.
No, I'm just going to keep saying Goldberg's coming back for one more match, no matter what. One other thing I wanted to get to, too, is, okay, so CM Punk. It looks like, before I get to CM Punk, AJ Lee cut her promo last week, basically saying goodbye. It looks like she won't be around for a few months at least, possibly even longer than that, if she ever does come back to WWE. But CM Punk now cut the promo last week about waiting for opportunity. You never know when opportunity will come up. Obviously, it set the Cody Rhodes thing. During that speech, he said, I'm not going on vacation. I'm not taking a break because I got to be ready for these opportunities. The very next show, he's not on it. The very next show.
Okay.
Now, he's allowed. He's allowed to take 1 week off. They had other things to get to. Roman needed to be the focal point. LA Knight really hasn't done much on TV. Becky came back after taking a week off. So you do this, you can let certain guys, we have enough for this show. Let's save CM Punk for the next week. It's load management of your WWE names. I get it. That's okay. But I also don't see CM Punk showing up on TV the week before Backlash when he doesn't have a match on it. So he's probably going to be off TV next week too, right? So he returns. Maybe CM Punk won't wrestle at Saturday night's main event because there's no time to promote a match for him.
Probably not. I could see him making an appearance on SmackDown, though, because of the whole Cody challenge, and then maybe challenging somebody there to a match on maybe a Saturday night's main event slash Backlash.
It's like, if you're gonna come after Cody Rhodes for the title, you should like win a match, Phil.
Yes.
So I could see that. Who on does that he go brand. Up against? Who does he go up against, and why will Danhausen curse his opponent?
Solo Sikoa. That would be the guy I'd pick out of that roster. Or maybe, Sami Zayn, what's gotten into you? Now I need to beat it out of you. Because he'd like that kind of match.
You also have Drew McIntyre there. They could always McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, CM Punk. That'd be
yes, please, give that to
There's
me.
So many things. I was thinking that the entire Bron Breakker promo with Seth Rollins, too, is like Seth Rollins never finished with CM Punk. Like, there's still Seth Rollins versus CM Punk we have to get to, which we're not going to see anytime soon because they're both baby faces and both in completely different directions. But before Seth's injury, remember, he was in a feud with CM Punk that we have not had a resolution to. And it almost cost CM Punk his championship, effectively, and then CM Punk got it right back after the injury. So there's a lot of roads. There's a lot of meat on the bone with CM Punk in WWE is what I'm saying. Like, yes. I think people were worried after 3 years, okay, is CM Punk going to go through everybody? Not necessarily beat everybody. I just mean go through all the opponents possible for him that are new. God, there's so much for CM Punk to do. There's so much for all these guys to do because they've all kind of been in their ring around the rosy with each other. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins have kind of all been involved with each other for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and it's never not been interesting.
And then the crowd, you train the crowd to think those four are the important four and they're going to be important with each other. But now you got guys like Bron Breakker coming in and Jacob Fatu coming in and Trick Williams up and coming, but he's breaking through pretty well. The crowd, I think it was just Laredo, but that crowd, man, was kind of silent on some of this new stuff going up.
Yeah, I would have liked to see how they reacted to Oba.
Ooh, Obafemi. Well, I mean, yeah, they kind of did. I mean, Obafemi came out and did the challenge, but it was kind of, even him after the entrance was a little weak when he started announcing the open challenges and did his pose at the end. It was the crowd was a little sleepy. They were a little tired. I don't know from what. But they were a little sleepy that night.
Open challenges now are nothing more than we don't have any ideas, but we want to put them out there and get them in a match, and then we'll see what happens.
Back in my day, every match on a show would have effectively started as an open challenge. It's like, hey, who wants to wrestle so we can see who's better and get a potential title shot?
Who wants to go to work today?
Who wants to work? And you know who didn't? CM Punk.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.